Our Father, which art in heaven.
Lord, we need breakthrough.
Hallowed be thy name.
I surrender.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Father, we ask that you would make us one.
On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
You are worthy.
And forgive us our trespasses.
Save me, Lord.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lord, revive us.
And lead us not into temptation.
Lord, help me to live a worthy life.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Morning. Oh, come on. It's summer. The rain wasn't cold. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Appreciate that greeting this morning. If you don't know me, my name's Jorn. I'm the gathering pastor here. I have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you this morning. Just a quick little kind of spot of encouragement for you. We are, if you're a first-time visitor here, we are a cross-centered church. The cross is where we see the beauty and the fullness of God. If you want to understand who God is, then you have to take a journey to the foot of the cross, and you need to see who Jesus is there in that moment. Because the fulfillment of God's desire to win us, to love us, and for Him to be known by us is because we see our Savior, we see Christ who sacrificed His life. And in the beauty of the cross is where we find intimacy with Jesus. Amen? And so when we are on that journey, then it transforms every other part of our lives. And it really helps us to come to a place where we're able to keep going with God. One of the things that really drives me crazy, and if you've been around me any length of time, you've heard me say this. I say it on a regular basis. Probably one of the things that really drives me to preach the way I preach and to encourage people the way I encourage people is because I cannot stand it when people don't find their purpose with God. Drives me crazy that you can give your life to Jesus and then that's it. And one day you stand at the gates of heaven and you enter in and there's no expectation because you haven't met and walked with God your whole life. And the desire of God is that we know Him now, that we experience Him now. And that shapes and changes our attitude towards everything that He's going to do in us and through us as followers of Jesus. And so if you've been around here during the summer, we've started a series on prayer. And we're big on prayer. I'm on you all the time about, hey, show up for prayer in the morning and learn how to pray and be a part of a team of people that will teach you how to connect with God in prayer. And so over the summer, we're doing a series called Great Prayers. And the context of that is that great prayers that will wreck your summer in a really good kind of way. This is the longest title I've ever heard for a sermon series. Thanks, Dan Nold, for that, if you're listening anywhere. And over the last 5 weeks, we've been working through prayers of the Old Testament. But this morning, we're transitioning into the New Testament. And our first prayer is what we call the Lord's Prayer. And if you know anything about the Lord's Prayer, and if you've been around traditional church, then you would understand that this is the standard prayer that Jesus taught His disciples. The first time they came to Jesus and said, hey, can you teach us how to pray? We want to know how to pray, which is very interesting because all the guys were Jewish, and so they would have known how to pray. They would have been taught how to pray through the Old Testament. There would have been specific Old Testament prayers that they would have used in the context of what their relationship with God looked like back then. But now they're coming to Jesus because they're seeing something in Jesus that they've never seen before. There's an intimacy that Jesus has with His Heavenly Father that has provoked them to come to Him and say, whatever we have done so far in our prayer life and how to pray, obviously there's something that we're missing and we're seeing the way that you communicate with God and we want that. And so in that moment, they say to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And He uses what we call the Lord's Prayer to do that. Now, I know for some the liturgy of Christianity is important. It's important to you to be able to pray those kind of prayers because it reminds you of Christ's words to yourself and to us as a church. It's a time that we actually can reflect on God's instructions. And for some, it actually is a bedrock in their prayer life. And it leads them and it reminds them. But may I suggest this morning that for many people who are followers of Jesus, this prayer is pretty generic to them. It can be a place where we pray it, but it doesn't have any power, and it really doesn't have any meaning in our life. It's just a religious thing that we do. And Jesus, in the context of teaching these men how to pray and teaching us how to pray, he wants to break through that in our life, and he wants to take us to a place where we're so close to God, where we're so intimate with God, that the words that are coming off the page have deep personal meaning and transformative power in our life. And so Jesus, as he begins to give them instruction, there's something important that we need to know, something important that we need to understand, and that is that all of Jesus' instructions were eternal. He never told us to do something that wasn't going to affect a million years from now. It wasn't just about a moment in time. It wasn't just about a prayer that was happening right now. But he was giving an eternal instruction to us as followers of God. And the Lord's Prayer is what I call the eternal crossroads into grace. Because what he's requesting of you to pray, when you really dig into it, you realize, oh, this is not religious. This is very intimate. This is very powerful. This is going to change my life if I really pray this prayer the way that Jesus has intended it to be prayed. And in that moment, I believe that we can experience God's grace in prayer. And we can see God in a way maybe we haven't seen him before. Or maybe you've lost your insight into what this really means to you personally. See, this prayer is where we see God anew. And it's in his desire to reveal his greatness to us. His greatness in who he is as our Savior God. As the Lord of our life. As a good Heavenly Father. And it's where we see the fullness of his character. Even in these prayers, we can see the character and the very nature of God towards us. And as we read these verses, I just encourage you, let it revive a desire to see the completeness of your Savior this morning. Don't ever let the cross be something generic. Don't ever let what Christ instructs us to do be religious. Let it be something that just inspires you to come alive over and over again. And if you're struggling in your prayer life, or you've been asking God, I need you to do something. I need you to wreck me. I need you to do something that will change how I think about how I pray and what my motives are. There's something you need to remember. Great prayers come from a great God. And whatever limitations, whatever view you have of God, if it's small, then I believe that that's going to translate into how you pray and why you pray. But the bigger you see who God is, the more you see of his majesty and his glory, his magnificence, his grandeur and his beauty, when you're able to see God this way, it inspires us to pray great prayers. It inspires us to be led to pray in a way that transforms everything. And this morning we're going to look at verses 5 through 14 in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And it says this, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." Now, we know that's a religious statement. We know Jesus is dealing with things that aren't intimate and aren't personal. "Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray. Father, we believe that Jesus is the solution for everything that's going on in our life. And we stand in the confidence this morning that you can speak to us through your word because it's alive. And that your word will reveal Christ, the hope of glory, to us. And it will do its work in our hearts and our minds. It will change us and cause us to believe for more than we've ever believed for. It will clear the clutter away so that we can see you and know you as a good God this morning. If there's any chance, Lord, this morning, that you can wreck us, give us courage. We give you permission to be able to do your work in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm not sure how your story goes when it comes to your engagement with Jesus and when you got saved and when you started to pray, but I can tell you from my experience, it was pretty nearsighted as I prayed. When I first was praying, you know, I was asking God to respond to all kinds of prayers, and they were all focused on me. Can anybody relate to that? Right? I mean, those early days, my faith was centered around requests like, God, help me get a job. Right? Or like, God, help me find a parking space. Like, God, help the Pittsburgh Steelers to win today. I mean, serious prayers, you know, great prayers were coming out of me during that time. And you know what I was amazed about? Like how many times God answered those little prayers. Like how many times at the beginning of my walk with Jesus, like he would answer those prayers like, yes, 24, 23 in overtime, Pittsburgh wins. You know, I'm jumping up, down, I'm so happy. And I'm like, God, thank you for answering my prayer. It's like, you know, I can't imagine what God must have, you know, I mean, I just can't imagine like how his head must have shook, you know, looking down there at me, you know, praying those kind of prayers. But, you know, what I found out is like, you know, when we're little and we're babies and we're little kids, like our dads do that for us, don't they? Our dads answer those kind of prayers. But here's a spoiler alert for you. Eventually, he quits answering those kind of prayers. Eventually, he wants us to go deeper. Eventually, he wants us to realize like, yeah, Jorn, today you're going to walk across the whole Walmart parking lot to get into the store. I'm not giving you one up front, right? Unless I park in a handicap space and limp in. I've never done that. I've thought about it, but I've never done it. And the reason that I chose to read some of these verses, extra verses other than the Lord's Prayer, is because I believe that Jesus was actually addressing an attitude. He was addressing an attitude of a sense of false humility and even entitlement. And that he was trying to deal with wrong perspectives on why we talk to God and the reason that we pray and the motives of our heart. And God's always dealing with the motives of our heart. And the number one way he does that is when we're praying and how we pray and whether our prayers get answered or they don't get answered. And we can find here, if we really dig into what Jesus is saying, it's more than just a parking spot, isn't it? It's more than just, hey, this is what I need. Now, I know that this is fairly trivial when you talk about these kind of generic things, but here's what I know. God knows our hearts. He knows that when we come to him to pray, because the scripture actually says he knows what we're going to ask before we even open our mouth. And so he already knows whether we're kind of like Walmart parking lot Christians, or we're people who are praying prayers that are bigger than us because we see who God is. And in the middle of that, I believe that God is wanting to help us to learn a few things. And the first thing is that the depth of our prayer life comes from humility. Because, you know, there's nothing in Christ's instructions in this time that he's instructing his disciples that is focus on me. He dealt with the me people at the beginning, and he says, now listen, here's about me, not you. These are God-ordained instructions for you to pray in a way that's going to actually change your life. Christ knew if he could get into our hearts, if he could get into the heart of every man and woman, that their lives would actually change. And it would change how they actually pray. And their need for God would be heightened by this intrinsic work of the Holy Spirit to actually shape our prayer lives. Because if we go to God and we realize, like, God is bigger than just, you know, those generic prayers that we pray, or God help me get a parking spot, then immediately we feel the Holy Spirit starting to work deep down into our hearts. And it changes how we think. And we come to this place where we realize, like, you know, I'm pretty immature when it comes to my prayer life. Maybe I need to grow up a little bit. Maybe I need to grow in who I need to be. And Jesus longs for that. And the place that we experience that is because we see our great need for God. We see that beyond the trivial prayers of this life, there is a way that God is inspiring me to pray that I'm never going to see that come to pass unless I see who God is. If I see the beauty of him, the power of him, the glory of him, and it changes the very motives of my heart. There's a movie that was, a long time ago called Shadowlands. It was based on the life of a theologian named C.S. Lewis. Some of you know who he is. He's probably one of the most powerful theologians of the 20th century. And he was struggling with caring for his sick wife. Her name was Joy. And a friend of his had noticed how God had been moving through his tenacity in prayer. I mean, he was just praying fervently and hard for his wife because she was just so debilitated by the sickness that she was struggling with. And Joy, her name was Joy, she actually began to get better. And the friend went to C.S. Lewis and said, "It's good to see how God is answering your prayers." And here's what C.S. Lewis said. "That's not why I pray. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It actually changes me." And so maybe what Jesus has intended all along in the Lord's Prayer is powerful transformation in our lives. To change our attitudes, to change the motives of our heart, and to bring us to a place of such humility that God begins to speak through us in our prayers. Now, I've said this quite often, but it is a good reminder as we consider, you know, the Lord's Prayer, and that is perspective is everything, right? I mean, if your faith is for the Walmart parking spot, and that's your faith, I mean, that's really your perspective, isn't it? Is your faith is for the natural things of this world, and God, please take care of this, and please make sure I pass this test, and please make sure that my friends aren't angry with me, and please make sure that, you know, I get to go on vacation. I mean, if that's your perspective in prayer, I mean, and that's genuinely where you're at, well, that's going to form everything that you do in your prayer life. And it's going to be what you think God looks like in your prayer life. But I believe that, you know, that perspective is about faith. And the greater faith we have, the greater perspective we have on how God is going to work through us. Now, God has really blessed Bonnie and I over the years to see some amazing places. We've stood on the Great Wall of China. You know, We've looked into the face of the Grand Canyon. We've been on the top of the Eiffel Tower in the evening looking over Paris. I actually had the opportunity to fly around the top of Mount Everest. And all those places, and there's been lots of other places that I can share with you, and all those places were so majestic. The view was so amazing. Now, if I tried to explain to you that to you personally, or even if you try to write it down, I mean, there's a picture that gets painted, but until you actually see it with your human eyes, you can never really see the majesty of it, the beauty of it. It's got to be seen through you personally. And I believe that maybe one of the things that we need to do is we need to be able to see God that way. Because I think when God looks at us and he looks into the depths of our souls, what he sees is more majestic, more beautiful, more amazing to him than anything on this earth. More than anything that I've ever experienced in the natural. No matter how beautiful it is, no matter how majestic the creation that we get to experience as followers of Jesus and appreciative that Jesus was the one who created all these things. I think that when God looks down from heaven and he looks into our heart, he sees the most beautiful place in all of creation. And in that place is where he wants to reveal himself. It's where he wants to bring heaven to earth. When we can see the glory and the potential that it means for God to bring heaven to earth, as the prayer says, and that really what he wants to do is he wants to wreck us from the inside. He wants us to see how valued we are and how much he believes in us. And the hope that he has that we can experience him within our inner man that changes how our perspective is externally. I think that when we hear that verse, when we hear that part of the prayer that says, you know, God, bring heaven to earth. What is in heaven, let it bring to earth. I think if we're really honest and we look at the verse, it's really about heaven coming into us. Not so much what's going to happen externally, even though there's going to be repercussions for intimacy with Jesus that are going to change the landscape around us. I believe that the potential for God to do something really good is simply because when we pray, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are the earth. We are the place that he wants to settle in. We are the place that he wants to experience that. John Knox wrote a New Testament Bible. And here's the verse that he wrote in Luke 17:21. It says, "The kingdom of God comes unwatched by men's eyes. There will be no saying, 'See, it is here,' or 'See, it is there.'" He says, "The kingdom of God is here within you." It's within you. And when we look at what Jesus is instructing us to pray, every part of this prayer is something that God is longing to do in our heart, to change us. And so let me finish by saying this. None of this will matter until we have the right view of God. If we do not have the right view of God, then we will be very limited in the ability for God to change our prayer life. And if we think that God is distant, then it feels like our prayers are going off somewhere, but they're never really being heard. If we feel that God is a God who demands ultimate perfection, boy, that's really going to, well, I was going to say screw up our prayer, mess up our prayer lives. Right? Amen? Because we're going to be over analyzing. We're going to be so analytical in why we pray and how we pray instead of really realizing, like, no, what happens is God comes in me, and when he comes in me with who he is and what he wants to do inside of my life, that naturally begins to flow out of me. And that flows out of me because I believe that when God comes in me, he comes in because he loves me and he wants to change me and he wants to do a deep work inside my heart. See, here's what I've experienced in my own personal life. If there is no Father, there is no prayer. If we don't understand who the Father is, then we have no expectations. Because great prayers come from a great dad. And we have to believe that our Heavenly Father is a good God. And the verse that I really like is this verse in Matthew 6, verse 8, where it says, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Right? And so think about that. Think about that God knows us as his intimate children, whether we know him or not. And when you get ready to open your mouth and you begin to pray, he already knows what you're going to say. Now, sometimes, you know, when we look at these verses, we'll say, well, God knows what we need. I believe he genuinely does. I believe that he knows exactly what we think we need, but then there's also what we need. You know what I'm talking about this morning? And so something has to change in the ability to actually trust God. We have to trust that He is a good Father who longs for us to know Him intimately and for Him to transform us. And that happens because He knows what we need. He knows. Not we know what He needs, but He knows what we need. That changes everything. Because then I'm able to pray great prayers, risky prayers. I'm willing to pray, God, in this scenario, I always act this way and I can't stand it. Every time I'm around this person, this is how I act. This is how I think. And I don't like it. I know that probably the reason why I'm responding the wrong way in my prayer life. Have you ever prayed, God, will you just please fix that person because they are just bugging me? If you'll just fix them, if you'll just change who they are, if you'll literally transform their personality so they don't annoy me, like I will feel like you really love me. No. No, the reality is that what Jesus is saying here is He knows what you need. He knows what needs to happen in you to transform you so that you can handle that person or that scenario, or you can have greater faith than you've ever had before. Do you really believe this? Do you really believe that He is a good Father? Do you believe that He knows what's best for you? Until we completely trust the motive of God's heart, our prayer life will be very narrow and very limited in our faith and our perspective to believe. See, here's something you need to know. The Father sent the Son. The Father sent the Son. Like, get a little sticky pad, sticky note, stick it on your mirror. Just put that on your mirror. The Father sent the Son. Put it on your alarm. That when you wake up in the morning, right, you hear, the Father sent the Son, the Father sent the Son. Because if you can really get that down into your heart, that's going to change how you trust God. How you have hope and the ability to believe in Him. That He knows what's good for you. And how it's going to change your actual prayer life. See, our prayers should be motivated out of truth. And the truth is God knows what we need. He knows where we need to be. He knows the kind of relationships we should have. He knows the kind of people that God is going to bring into our life to challenge us. He knows when you're living in fear and you're settling for less than what God has for you because you simply don't believe that He can take you someplace that that you in your heart may want to go, but you just don't believe that you can ever get there. God is able to do that. And here's what I believe. Until our Father shapes our prayers will just be out of shape. They go pear-shaped. They go weird. And then we start praying things without any faith. And God's saying, no, that's not why I sent Jesus. I sent Jesus so that He could transform you from the inside out, so that heaven could come to earth inside of you and you could believe for the best things that your Heavenly Father has for you. I like it. It says, you know, He says that all these things can be found in the secret place. The secret place isn't just a closet that you go to. It can be that, but the secret place is that place deep down inside your heart that maybe you don't invite God into. It's where your secret fears are. It's a place where God can rest inside of you, and all of a sudden you just have this supernatural peace to believe in that moment that Jesus is there, walking with you, leading you, helping you, so that you can pray great prayers. This morning, let me ask you this. What will wreck you this summer? If there's an opportunity for God to wreck you, what will that look like? Here's some things that maybe you can consider beginning to pray. A deep need for the Father. A deep need for the Father. A new level of faith and trust in God's work in your life. Restorations of broken relationships. A renewed focus on what's really important to God. The ability to bring heaven to earth. Can you do that? overcoming ignorance to the spiritual battles around you. All these are prayers that I believe are birthed out of the Lord's Prayer, where God can say, if you'll open your heart to what the Word of God is saying to you personally right now, that some of these things will begin to kind of bubble to the top. The worship team's going to come, and we're going to have some worship together. We're going to have the prayer team down here to pray for you. And I really encourage you, just take, you know, a few minutes, and you know, if you could just maybe leave that last slide up, I'd appreciate it. And just take a couple minutes and kind of look down through those things and ask yourself, are there any parts of these prayers that I should probably be praying and really asking the Lord to speak to me about? And when you get that, you know, if there's someone beside you trust, just pray with them. If not, I really encourage you, come down and pray with someone on the prayer team. Amen? Amen? Come on, you said good morning. You can say amen. Let's stand up and worship the Lord.